I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in to the Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Steve I am your host, Dusty Evely, because today we are here with a very special guest. We are here with, I'll ask Steve and Sarah how they're doing in a minute, but today we're here with Lori Fitzpatrick. Lori is a writer for Jaguar Report over at Sports Illustrated. She's a podcaster for Jaguars Brawl and just an overall good person, I suppose, and does a lot of really good Jaguars film work over on Twitter as well. So follow over there if you get a chance. We're here with Lori Fitzpatrick this week. Lori, how are you?
Pretty good. Thank you so much for having me. I feel like I've known you forever, but we never really had a chance to kind of sit down and really talk football. So I'm excited. I'm not excited to play the Packers, but I'm excited for this conversation.
We'll take the excitement however we can get it, man. I'm also here with, as always, Steve and Sarah. Steve, Sarah, it's been, it feels like, 2 months since the last Packers game. How are you guys doing?
I mean, I'm doing good. It was weird. We tried to have a Madden game, and Madden EA Systems took a dump on us and wouldn't let us talk to each other while we played. I have to say, I did destroy you. It was pretty outstanding.
My daughter had the control, Steve.
Sure. Whatever you guys say, buddy. Whatever you guys say.
Listen, I'm bad at Madden. I'm not going to apologize for that.
I know. I'm excited, though. It's going to be a lot of fun to preview the game with Lori. And, Packers 6-2 halfway through the year. You can't ask for any more.
Yeah. Sarah, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited that you're hosting the episode, Dusty. I think this will be a lot of fun. And then, Lori, of course, thanks for joining us. And, yeah, it was great. Packers played on Thursday night. UCF had a bye on Saturday. And so I kind of had the whole weekend off to just watch games and not stress about my team. So that's always nice. It was a lot of fun. And now they're both back this weekend, so I'll be stressed out again.
Hooray.
Oh, wow, UCF. You're a UCF fan.
Yeah, I went there, so I live in Orlando.
Oh, wow. Now too. Mm-hmm. Oh, snap. Look at that. That's awesome. Yeah, so UCF, one of the two Central Florida teams. I mean, I guess Jacksonville is pretty much, Central Florida. I mean, not really, but, a lot of actual fans that are Jaguars fans are also UCF fans. So that's the reason why I say that. Mm-hmm. Even though, it's, more of the Gator, that's where more of the Gators are, but still a lot of UCF guys, especially from Blake Bortles. So
you're right. Yeah. There was a lot of people that kind of jumped on the bandwagon that I went to school with.
When I Blake feel sorry Bortles. For them.
Yeah. When he went to the Jaguars. So
the immortal Blake Bortles. God, I forgot he was.
We call him the boat down there, best of all time.
Yeah.
Stop it.
All right, let's run down before we kind of jump into the matchup. A couple news and notes from today. So, per Rob Domofsky and I guess Schneidman and whoever covers the Packers at this point, Jordan Love removed from the COVID list. It's not going to make any difference for the game this weekend, but he's not on the list anymore. Still on the list, Chris Barnes and A.J. Dillon. If I'm not mistaken, Love never actually tested positive. He was just in close contact with people who did.
Him and Barnes are roommates.
That's right. So we'll get to see Jordan Love's lovely face on the sideline. And that's the only difference that news will make. In other Packers-related news, Tremont Williams signed with Baltimore, which is exciting. I always kind of hoped maybe he'd find his way back to Green Bay. Something would happen there. But I think Baltimore's a good fit for him. Kind of excited to see him out there for sure. And I guess the last bit that I've got is Chris Myers, Brock Heward, and Greg Jennings are on the call this weekend. So I know we joked about them a little earlier, but I thought they did a good job. And I can't remember what game they did this past weekend. Watched some of that game this past weekend. They're not bad. Greg Jennings got a lot of insight there. So I think that's fine. It's fine.
Outside of his like need to say, I want to be bad, I want to be back in the good graces of Green Bay, like, we get it, bro. You know, you want to be back here. You've burned enough bridges. Keep doing what you're doing on the broadcasting side. You'll get back eventually. We let Favre back in, and he was a quarterback for the Vikings. Come on.
I feel like
eventually it'll happen.
I feel like instead of saying you want to get back in the good graces, like, just do things that get you back in the good graces. You don't have to tell people you're going to do it. Just go ahead.
Way better idea.
Yeah. Maybe someone should tell him, I guess, but yeah, should be fun. And yeah, I think we talked about it before, Brock Huard just kind of looks like Dolph Lundgren. Got a Dolph Lundgren thing going on, which I appreciate when they show him in the booth. I kind of dig it. All right, that's it for our news and notes. Let's get to know Lori a little bit. So we're going to dive into the Packers Jaguars here, but as always, we are going to jump in with some get to know you questions. So Sarah, start us off.
Yes, so whenever we have a guest, the first question we always ask them is, what is their favorite Oreo? So we are Oreo stans on this podcast. We love Oreos, but then there are also specific Oreo flavors that we aren't huge fans of. So we're curious to hear what your favorite is.
That's such an interesting question, because when I first saw it, I thought, well, Oreo is a flavor. So I wasn't really sure where to go with that. I mean, I'm going to say cookies and cream, aka original. And I'm going to go with maybe, original.
That is a very acceptable answer that you're allowed to stay on the podcast now. So.
Well, that's good. I mean, I want to go with double stuff, but sometimes the milk. But I heard that's not real milk because it's vegan friendly. So I just like, but mentally kind of messed me up. So I don't go with the double stuff original OG Oreo all day. Let's go.
Okay. I like it. All right, so let's say pre or post COVID, what would be a dream vacation for you? Like, where would you want to go somewhere in the world that you've never been before?
Post COVID, I'm kind of curious what my answer would be pre COVID. I mean, you know, if it
you
was
can
like
give two different answers if you want.
Yeah.
Okay. Honestly, I want to go to Thailand and kind of like meditate with some monks. I think that would be really enlightening and peaceful and relaxing. So that is my dream vacation for sure.
We've not gotten that one yet. That's a good one. Yeah. I like that one.
Hang around with Puff the Magic Dragon. Just chill, you know?
There you go.
I mean, I may have gotten drunk near some monks in Thailand once. I'm not going to lie. But I would highly suggest
it. Like, I may have kicked a monk before.
I did not do that. No.
That you remember.
You have to be respectful.
Thank you, Steve, for always respectful here. All right, Lori, I don't like the term guilty pleasure, but we're going to go with this here. What is your favorite guilty pleasure movie?
Not X-rated, because the way that it sounds.
We'll say not X-rated. We're gonna keep it below X-rated.
I'm just kidding. All right.
We'll take the other answer off the air.
That one is our After Dark show.
That's right.
Legally Blonde, I think, would probably be one of them. I really love that, but it's not even guilty. It's a pleasure.
That movie's just great. It's just great.
You know? But I guess it's guilty pleasure. Maybe, I think my personality makes it a guilty pleasure.
I got you.
Yeah. This is so weird. This is like talking to a female version of Dusty. It's creeping me out a little bit, because he says like the exact same thing. He's like, it's not a guilty pleasure because I don't feel guilty about it. It's just a pleasure. I like the movie.
That's right.
It really is.
So there's nothing to feel bad about, Steve.
Okay. In my next question, sticking on the topic of food, what is your go-to dessert?
You guys really gave her all the food questions. Come on.
I don't mind. We're a food podcast. We're a Packers podcast and a food
podcast.
We're
a food podcast masquerading as a Packers podcast, basically.
So can we do a dual, like, you know, I want to jump on the foodie one, too. Because I'm telling you, the food here in Philly, we can do some testing and, you know, the bread is out of this world. Go-to dessert, like chocolate layered cake is like, it's not go-to because it's not easily available all the time. So, like, I guess it's not technically a go-to dessert, but, like, if I'm going to a banging steakhouse, I'm ordering, like, at least four layer. Anything less than that, subpar, Come on.
Get out.
Layer cake. Yes.
Don't bring any week two layer cakes around
That's
here.
That's right.
I don't want no tasty cakes in here.
During the quarantine period of COVID, have you picked up any interesting like hobbies? You know, I was trying to get into like putting videos where it would like go down the stairs and around the corner and into like a bucket or whatever. Did you do anything like that? Anything crazy or anything fun?
Well, you kind of reminded me of something that I didn't realize, but I didn't download TikTok, but I started watching a lot of those quarantine family TikTok videos. My favorite, like, and I've, but I was just saying, I've seen, you know, a lot of those hobbies you're talking about. It's actually cracking me up, just thinking about it. But, my hobby, honestly, like, I haven't really done much. I've just been trying to write more, on like the Jaguar Report and kind of getting more stuff out there. But one thing I've noticed is like Mimosa Mondays for sure. You know, I've been drinking a little bit more, so
it's a good hobby.
No, for real though, I need to tone it down a bit, but yeah, like but mimosas, guys, come on, it needs to be more of a thing.
Like oh, I agree.
Your hobby you picked up was drinking in the morning, which we support here. We totally
Mondays,
support it. That's
which
fine.
Is just
on
outstanding.
Monday. Yeah, no, that's the way to start it off. I like it. All right, last question for this portion: if you could pick one person to narrate your life, who is that person?
Wow, that's a tough question. Because it's like the person really matters because the personality behind it is something that I really, you know, is something that matters to me. But also a good voice, you know, mm-hmm. Sometimes there's not a lot of times where both of those kind of sync up. I don't even know. I've never thought about this. Like I've thought of the soundtrack of my life. I've thought of that.
Okay.
You know, what songs would be. But, like, who would I pick? I'm really not sure. Just somebody with, like, a really lovely voice. Like, probably, you know, I don't know. Somebody sweet. Like, but honestly, well, I've never thought about it.
Give me a couple songs on that playlist. Give me a song or two you got on that playlist, Lori.
Let the bodies hit the floor.
There we go. There we go.
The Macarena.
Okay.
You know, the
what
music
the hell
video,
kind of playlist
the radio.
Steve, this is the playlist after Mimosa Monday. Yeah, life takes a lot of twists and turns, Steve, and you got to make sure you got music for all of it. So that's
where it comes from. That's fascinating. Thank you for dropping that knowledge bomb on me.
You're welcome, Steve. That's what we're here
Bohemian
for.
Bohemian Rhapsody, you know.
There we go.
All the hits.
All right, that's good. All right, so we'll just say Freddie Mercury. We're going to have Freddie Mercury narrate your life, and there we go. We'll find a way, we'll splice words together, and that'll be it. All right, Lori, amazing. Let's get into the game preview a little bit here. So we're going to be asking a series of questions, each of us. We're going to start with Steve. Steve, what do you got?
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st.
I know he's not playing, but, I mean, Minshew Mania has, like, you know, for a year and a half-ish has taken over weirdly on Twitter for not being like the best quarterback in the world. Like, what are your overall thoughts on him? And I have to be a just funny as much as possible, but what do you think of his, what do you think of his mustache?
No, I definitely took the, you know, the end of your last statement to answer the first, you know, six questions. So,
fair.
You know, just saying, fair, right? No, I mean, Jaguars Twitter is out of control awesome, and we don't really have much else to go off of, so it kind of took off a little early.
Okay, that's fair.
And, I mean, he has a lot of work to do, but it's his sophomore year. I mean, that's when quarterbacks are exposed, honestly. Sure. So it's, you know, you take away the defense that they had and what they threw him into this year with a brand new offensive coordinator, with a brand new quarterbacks coach. You got guys, like, with big personalities, too. You know, you got Gruden in there. You got weird McAdoo, funny face McAdoo in there, like crazy eyes McAdoo, like looking at you. Sophomore
Does he still
year,
have
you have
slick back hair.
He's just crazy to look at, man. I don't even know. I just download the MP3 when his conferences come out. So, yeah, no, honestly, I not that I feel bad for Minshew, but like, it's a tough year for him. They have Foles got hurt last year, so. This was really supposed to be his year for him to kind of come out and like, you know, there wasn't supposed to be as much film as there was on him. You know, he's supposed to kind of come in light, and it's a sophomore year. So I can't say I'm crazy about him right now. Especially after that thumb injury that he kind of tried to play off, you know, it's like, but all these guys in the staff, I don't know how they didn't see that, you know. The guy couldn't even throw down the field 40 yards. It was terrible. I don't know if you saw, you know, in the last game that, or no, not the, obviously not the last game, but the game before that, the one interception that he threw, he was at least like 5 yards short on a deep ball to Chark. And it was just like, you know, come on, dude, like this isn't noticeable. And he's like, oh, I've been hurt for the last 3 weeks. So it's like you kind of see that in his game, especially recently. So there's a lot of factors. There's a lot of things going on. I feel a lot of different ways about Minshew, but, you know, it's just, you see Luton in there and he's got a pretty good arm. So I'm really on the fence with Minshew right now. I want to keep seeing how Luton does.
Sarah, what you got?
Yeah. So kind of taking a step back, from the team, I'm curious, especially, you know, living in Florida and knowing a lot of Jaguars fans and growing up kind of around the team, what does your job specifically entail and how did you start covering the Jaguars? Because I know you're in Philly right now, or you're in New Jersey, but you're in Philly a lot of the time. So I'm curious, you know, how you kind of hooked up with the Jaguars.
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, I was just a fan I was working at a job that was, you know, 9 to 5 kind of data entry. And I just hit 30, you know, a couple years ago. And I was kind of at a place where I didn't know where I was going in my life, honestly. And like, I have a degree in sports management. I played women's professional football for 4.5-5 years. You know, I coached on a youth team. I play a lot of Madden, Steve. And so I know the game.
Well.
And so, you know, I started posting on Twitter a lot. And, you know, guys just that know the game, they started reading and started seeing all of the Jaguar fans that were retweeting me and just random people kind of saying like, wow, I kind of like maybe what she points out. And honestly, it just went from there. I just started posting more and more and more. I was getting opportunities to write for different places, which recently I apologize for because I haven't been writing as much. And so I do a lot of posting on Twitter, especially lately. And it really all just came from there. I started my own podcast. I started, you know, doing different things in different areas of this industry just to kind of see, hey, you know, getting my feet wet in different things. What do I feel? What do I like doing? Things like that. And, you know, I just continue to push things out and strive to be better and learn every single day. And even now I'm enrolled in the Scouting Academy. So I'm learning more and more. And that's all I want to do is continue to learn. Who knows, you know, where it's going to take me and things like that. But I'm just, you know, I want to do as much as I can. And yes, I'm a fan of the team. That was where, I'm sorry. That was the original question. I just started doing JAG stuff, and then I started doing more and more stuff in the NFL because at the time, like 2015 is when I started like posting more, and they weren't like getting, they weren't that good. They weren't that good. And so, you know, they started getting better and better. And so it started around 15 is when I started actually posting. And yeah, it just kind of took off from there.
Yeah. And just to kind of reiterate at the top, I mean, if you're not following Lori, even if you're not a fan of the Jags, man, you, the way you view the game, the way you kind of break down the game. I know I've learned a lot about the game just from watching your stuff. So just if you're trying to get a feel for like what other teams are doing and just football in general, you just, you do tremendous work in that arena. All right. So I guess I'll move on with my question. You touched a lot on Minshew earlier with Steve's question. I knew you were a big fan of his, and I know the thumb injury kind of threw you a little bit. And that is kind of, like you said, sophomore season, you got some film, and with that thumb injury, it's tough to tell how much of this slump was an injury versus how much it was. I mean, he's got not the strongest arm in the world, but it seems like he's a smart guy and he kind of understands the offense. So you don't know how much of that impacts the other, but it's only one game. I know you said he's got a strong arm. That's fun. What are your thoughts on Luton so far? What did you see in the game last week that kind of maybe something, things that you could see him doing well or terribly going forward, I guess?
Well, I really like the velocity he puts on the ball. And it's not just about like throwing it really hard. It's about it getting there and the touch that you put on it. So like there was the one throw that he made right off the gate, and it was to Chark, where there was a safety coming down too, as well as the guy that he beat that he was currently kind of running in front of. So it was obviously a big window, but still you can't just throw it as hard as you can.
Yeah, because it could obviously go ball, up. Yeah.
Exactly. And the way that he kind of like, not that it dropped in, but, you know, Chark put his hands up on the run. He didn't skip a step. You know, he in stride, it was perfectly thrown. And then he makes other throws on the run, like almost sidearm or whatever. Not sidearm, but because he didn't really do that much. But just the way he kind of got it out really fast at times, I really like to see. And honestly, it was a breath of fresh air to see a quarterback take some chances. And it's not that Minshew doesn't, because he did before the ghosts came after him. So it's just a matter of time or not that Luton, that it happens to him.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where you find out if your quarterback is elite or if it takes some time for him to be elite or he's not elite.
Yeah.
So it's like, damn, do I wait for that to happen? Do I put Minshew back in? Like, you know, you're kind of like on the, you know, you're not really sure what to do. Honestly, though, because Minshew, you know, got hurt, that's where it's kind of tough. But in the end, I would want to see more of Luton before I would put Minshew back in, even if he was 100% healthy, because of Luton's play. He didn't do that bad. He really didn't. And, you know, he got some touchdowns, and he almost actually came back. And the defense didn't do that bad either, which, unfortunately, Minshew hasn't had a lot of. You know, the defense hasn't really helped him at all. But in the end, I do like what I see from Luton so far. And I want to see him, you know, do better things, especially as the season goes on, because that's when the Gruden's playbook mm-hmm. should kind of expand a little bit as well.
Yeah.
So if it's plug and play, that's going to be exciting. If it's not, then we might see a little bit of struggles, but then we'll really get to see who Luton is. So I'm excited despite the opponents in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, you guys got I think I saw maybe the toughest stretch. I think it's maybe, I don't think there's any teams left with the below 500 record, I think, going forward. So
where are the Jets
should be fun. It's fun for you guys. Steve, what do you
yeah,
got?
Right, we gotta do this every year, man.
It's actually funny. That's like leading me like directly into my question, so thank you guys, I appreciate that. You clearly established that you are a fan of the Jags, so how has it been covering a team that is clearly in tank mode at this point? Like, I mean, were you just yelling at the TV when the Patriots beat the Jets last night, and you know they should have just, you know, solidified number one spot for the Jags.
They did this on purpose.
They screwed it up.
I cannot believe that. He did that on purpose. They meant to lose.
No, Belichick's the smartest man, and he didn't want him in the AFC East.
Yeah, no, I'm saying the Jets maybe could have, you know, they could have won that game. I'm saying they're the ones. They're trying to tank now. Listen, this is a fight for the bottom, my man, okay? This is not a fight for the win. No, how do I feel about it? You know, it's because Jaguars, hashtag because Jaguars. So I'm not surprised.
That's fair.
But how's it been, honestly? It's been rough. I've been a fan of the Jags since probably like 2002, 2003. I was in middle school when I picked up the sticks. My guy, you know, picking the coolest color jerseys, the coolest mascot. I got the teal. Come on, teal and black. Making up your own uniform set on Madden 2005. McNabb playing with Vic. Hey, that's when I picked the Jags, when they beat the Dolphins 42-7, and they put Dan Marino into retirement. You know, that's when I became a fan of the Jags a long time ago. So it's been a rough ride. But it's a lot funner to watch them when you're covering them, because like I'm emotional. Like I'm like an introverted extrovert in a way. I don't know if that makes sense, but I like to kind of have, like, I like to bounce things off of, you know, other people and kind of even challenge myself. So the roller coaster ride that I'm on with this team it's kind of fun. It's sad deep down, you know, but, sure. But you know, it's pretty fun. It's not bad, to be honest. I like it. I can focus on other parts of the NFL as well. So it's kind of cool.
That's true. That made me somehow sadder and more optimistic than I kind of thought it would. That was not bad. Sarah, what do you got?
So kind of on the topic of tank mode, I know like you were just talking about they won their season opener, then they've dropped 7 straight. What is there, trying to look at the positive of this, what is the key to maybe turning the season around if there is one? And, you know, from watching and looking at the film, what is that key to maybe get the season back on track a little bit?
Oh, I don't think they want to get back on track. And I'm talking about ownership, and I'm being so serious. I'm talking about ownership, really, because, I mean, you can't get back on track this year. It's not going to happen. Like, and economically, that's why they got rid of the big players. That, you know, obviously, they would have been better with Calais Campbell. But if you think about your future with these guys, Yannick, who's getting pressure all the time, then you got Calais picking up the ball after Yannick gets pressure. And then, you know, you're letting go of safeties, of, you know, Leonard wasn't amazing or anything, but, you know, you're letting these guys go. I really think it's a move more towards London, if anything. And I know a lot of people in Jacksonville disagree with me, and it's based off of no real facts. This is just a feeling, okay? So I don't want anybody to, you know, go making bets on this or anything, but I do think it's a little bit of more of a London move, and just because, hey, I want to get one or two more games over there. Like, I get it. And so I don't think there's any turnaround for this year. I think it's just about consistency and really just getting, you know, really just in the playbook, watching film. And this is really just a learning year for a lot of these guys, because I don't remember the stat, but they do have, like, I think they're at least the bottom or top three of the youngest rosters in the NFL. So, you know, there's a lot of learning to do and a lot of experience to gain. It just sucks that, you know, those guys are a part of a bad team right now, because, you know, it's not good when you're learning with a bunch of, you know, guys,
yeah, you got like that culture of losing that can be tough, exactly, to break sometimes. Yeah,
exactly. That's why we, you know, we're the rotation squad that gives out the NFL the good players. So when they learn from us, you learn from the best. Then, you know, you can go out there and explore and go get your paycheck. Right, Ramsey?
So can you send Miles Jack for like a fourth round pickup? Actually, that'd be
nice. Yeah, that'd be nice.
That'd be cool.
I mean, well, paired with like other guys, you know, he's a good like role player, but
he's better than what we have.
He is an improvement.
I mean, he's pretty fast. You know, he gets at it, but he's finally in his real position. So it's going to be even better watching him because he's not a mic.
Yeah, he was flying around everywhere this past weekend. Was that David Johnson? The hit he put on Johnson at the flat was one of the more vicious things I've seen in a while.
R.I.P.
Yeah, seriously. All right, I hate to pile on here, Lori. I really do. But, okay, so Football Outsiders has the Jaguars as a 31st ranked team in the league, behind only the Jets. Now, here's where it's kind of fun, is that the gap between 31 and 32 there, it's roughly 20 points in DVOA. So basically, the Jags are just a step below below the Jets. The Jags are below the Jets by 20 points. That's as close as the gap from the Jags to the Chargers. That's how bad the Jets are this year. They are that much worse than the Jags by DVOA's ranking, which is insane to me. Anyway, so again, I don't want to pile on. But what are they doing? What are they doing well? What do they do well right now? And kind of what players do you like watching or you can kind of project forward going forward? I know you said, you know, you got Gruden as offensive head coach or offensive coordinator. Terrible head coach, but he schemes up some good stuff. I know Laviska Shenault has shown some really fun stuff. We just talked about Miles Jack. So what do you see that they do on either side of the ball particularly well or particularly horrible, and kind of talk about good or bad things for a while, Lori.
It's right now it's kind of a tough question only because sometimes they're like touchdowns are sometimes just off of like busted coverages, so like, you know, are they really good at it? Like, you know, it's kind of tough. But, I mean, the speed is there. Definitely, like, the jet sweeps and any, like, snap motion stuff really gets the defense kind of, like, it makes them really unbalanced. And it's happened a couple times, but only when they continue to feed James Robinson. So, you know, kind of establishing that run game is definitely the most important thing, which they tend to not do that much. So it's like they're good at running the ball, but they don't do it that much. So then you're like, well, then you're not really sure if they're good at it, you know, because like they just need to continue doing it because like, you know, they won't convert on like a third and short and then they'll give it up. They'll give up that whole freaking formation for the whole rest of the game. It's just like, really, my guy, like give the dude another chance. Like, come on, like. But, you know, I wish they ran it a little bit more because they seem to be successful, especially when Robinson kind of gets it going. So I would say a lot of the like deception pre-snap. So a lot of the snap motion, and obviously because it's more of it's a young team. It's kind of a college team. It's that speed. So generally they'll get the defense off guard or they won't be able to keep up with them because of their speed. And then that's where those big plays happen. So I think, you know, when they keep doing those things, they tend to, you know, outplay some of the defense. And when James Robinson gets fed and he does convert, usually that time of possession goes up. And so, like, it's really like, you know, once they do well, then they're doing good. And I know it's like, you know, a stupid answer, but so it's really like when they kind of get it going and they establish the run game, so like the run and gun packages, but it's really nothing. Like, they don't really perform screens all particularly well. Sometimes the draw plays will work, sometimes they won't. You know, they'll put Laviska in, and in one game Laviska killed it every time he got the ball.
Yeah.
And then another game he was getting stopped behind the line of scrimmage. So it's like, you know, if you ask me every four games, then I could tell you. It's like, I feel like, and like they always do well, then it just ends up bad because the defense then just gives up, you know, two touchdowns back to back. And it's just like, it's frustrating. But the one thing that has been consistent, and I'll give it to them, the offensive line hasn't really done that bad. They've had sparks of, like, really good, like, run blocking. So, you know, they've been able to kind of get allow Robinson to kind of get through, but it's only been for fractions of seconds. And so it's really about James to kind of make that one cut up field. And so they give him that opportunity, that small little opportunity, and he's young enough, he's quick enough, and he's smart enough to get it, and he's able to kind of get there. So the offensive line has been doing really well, and that's because they haven't really had any hiccups. Nothing has happened. There hasn't really been too many guys that haven't been playing. I don't even want to say the word. So, but they've been all there. They've been happy and healthy.
That's some of the abandoning the run game stuff gave me flashbacks to Mike McCarthy there for a bit. So, thanks for that, Lori. Steve, you're up. What do you got?
Oh my God, Mike McCarthy! Holy crap, that's so horrible. All right, so for Packers fans listening to this podcast, tell them, like, who is the one guy that the Packers would need to focus on the Jaguars defense? Like, who would be the one guy that if they can shut that person down, you know, effectively block them, do whatever they need to do. But who's that guy that if they can eliminate them, neutralize them, that's a key to really being able to do whatever they want on the offensive side of the ball.
So you mean like who the Packers need to stop?
Yeah, on the Jaguars defense.
Oh, on the Jags D. Ooh.
Is there a guy?
Yeah, that was the question, Steve.
Oh boy, I'm feeling better and better about this game.
When did you not feel good about this game? Oh, you just said better and better. Okay. Yeah. Not like, you know, you didn't switch or anything.
No. I've always felt it was going to be a victory.
But can you cover the spread, Steve? Can you cover the spread?
Was it
that's
13,
the question.
I mean, that's the ultimate question. Right now, yeah.
I would say who they should attack, I can say that. Who sure. Should you attack?
That works too.
They've really picked on that linebacker like so much, man. The guy they called Kid Rock, he's got like the blonde hair, it's long.
Yeah,
that guy. They should pick on him because everybody picks on him and they do well. they've been picking on CJ Henderson, the rookie. You know, last week he let up a touchdown. That was really upset to see. He's been playing really well until last week. He hasn't been doing that bad. He's kind of like a Bouye. I don't want to go as far as Ramsey together, but all I'm going to say is like not Ramsey's play, but like kind of like his attitude. He has his attitude and then he has like AJ's like center of gravity where he's just like you're like he doesn't look fast, but he's always there. Like what? How's that even possible? Like he's kind of that guy. So you know, he's pretty good. I would say definitely attack the safety, Gerard Wilson. He hasn't been playing very well.
Oh, my God.
Definitely attack him.
Let me go through these other six guys here.
There's only 11 starters for you.
Listen. No. These guys have a lot to work on. You know, they're not turning around for the ball. It's like they're falling for easy reverses. It's like you have one job: stay home and protect this side of the field. And they're like, "Ooh, a squirrel!" And it's like, "Come on, you leave the whole side of the field open. Stop following him. You're not going to make the play anyway. Just stay on your side of the field because the reverse, it's going to come back. Like, you know." And some guys, they had an opportunity to step up and make some open field tackles, and it didn't happen. So I'm a little frustrated, you know. Like, we're 1-7. So, like, I guess, like, some of the answers are a little passive-aggressive, but I kind of mean it. So, it's frustrating. But, you know, they'll be able to kind of pick on these guys a little bit. But I would say, really, Henderson is – he's probably the best defender, you know, and Miles Jack is good, especially in open field somehow. He really – I don't know if you saw the video. He just hangs on. Yeah. And he will get drugged on the field. I'm telling you, this guy is small, but he will not let go. He won't. So, you know, he's going to, I would definitely say, watch out for Miles Jack. He's going to kind of get in there. Hopefully they blitz him a little bit more. They did some corner blitzes last week, so I'm hoping that they do some more corner blitzes. Aaron Rodgers is kind of good outside the pocket, so he's good inside the pocket, outside the pocket. I don't even know how to defend him. Like, I'm really not sure. Just distract him. I don't know. I'm not sure, but, you know, DJ Henderson, I mean, CJ Henderson, definitely look out for him. And Miles Jack, and hopefully Josh Allen, Kentucky guy, he'll make an appearance. So I'd say keep your eyes open for him, because he hasn't really done anything really in the last couple of weeks. So I'm just hoping, you know, this week is, you know, his week to kind of come out, and, you know, everybody's watching Josh.
Sarah?
I'm kind of curious, my last question, you know, especially you talked a little bit about this already, with the coaching and the organization and just the tank in general, do you see maybe, you know, the coach getting fired before the season ends, waiting until after? Do you see an organizational change? You know, if somebody asks you to put money down on this right now, do you think it happens during the season, after the season, or nothing at all?
That's such a tough question. Because it's what you hope, you know, it's kind of like what, it's what everybody in Jacksonville hoped would happen last year at the end of the season. I am not sure, really. We were all hoping for it. They even asked him in the press conference, Doug, you know, did you think you were going to be let go? You know what his answer was? Well, I'm here. If it happens, it happens. Like, really? He doesn't even care. It's just like, come on. Like, but he's not going to – Shad is not going to let go of him. If he lets go of him, it would definitely be at the end of the season. But I – you know, he trusts in Doug because they did get them to the 2017, you know, AFC championship. And if you think about teams right now that were good then, they're not good now. And a lot of them have cap issues. You know who doesn't? The Jacksonville Jaguars. They don't. Maybe there's something that could, you know, could happen with that. So I don't know if he's going to fire him, because, like, he could have convinced him, like, hey, yeah, we're on the road to do this again. Circle back 2017. Let's go, buddy. And he, you know, Shad may be all in. So I don't know. I would pay money to be a fly on the wall to go into the future and see. But honestly, I'm not sure, because if you think about it, they're in a pretty good situation right now economically. And, you know, it's like, this is COVID season. Hey, you know, next year, it could just, you know, maybe somehow they get Trevor. They turn it all around. Doug can go back. You know, he has Jay now. Mm-hmm. Jay Gruden, you know, he's got McAdoo back there. If he's going to help at all, whatever he does, you know, maybe he'll help him. So I really do not know if Doug is ever going to be fired. Like, you know, I don't know. It's a crazy feeling what's going on with Jacksonville Jaguars right now.
And to be clear, Lori, I don't know if anyone knows what McAdoo has been doing for like the past decade at this point. So
he's kind of, is he a Bill O'Brien?
He's a Bill O'Brien that doesn't have actual like control of the team, which is nice. It's just how you want a Bill O'Brien.
Which is worse. Oh, no. Well, you would rather have a McAdoo that does that and not a head coach Bill O'Brien that does that.
That's true. That's true.
McAdoo's not there yet. He needs to step it back up and get back on his do nothing, you know, level of achievement.
All right. My last question, Laura, you brought him up a second ago. I live in Kentucky. I graduated from UK. There's a huge push. I know there's some Packers people really wanted Josh Allen in Green Bay just because. And I kept saying, not only is he not going to fall that far, but also he dominated at Kentucky, but I never saw enough from him that I thought he was like a sure thing to translate to the next level. So what have you seen from him so far? How has he been doing? Have you seen anything there, any kind of growth in his game, anything you can kind of project forward, or just in general, how has he looked?
You know, it's tough. I mean, he hasn't really got a lot of pressure, but I think it's just something that takes a little bit time to kind of get your weight up, get your moves up, get your footwork up, because he didn't really come into the league with a lot of variation, you know? Yeah. Like you said, he was a not like a bull rush guy, but he's kind of like, you know,
yeah,
like
move, you said
earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, he's a man among boys in college. So, you know, that's not the case in the NFL, and it's not, you know, it's not for anybody. So, I think it's just going to take a little bit, because really he's like the only guy that is really getting pressure in the backfield, like at all. And with Yannick, at least like you have one guy that takes the pressure, then you have the other guy that, you know, makes the sack. It's like an assist thing. It's an alley-oop. It's a Jordan and Pippen, and he doesn't have that. He doesn't have anything. So it's like, you know, you see him kind of getting better individually, but you know, it's just
the numbers aren't really there. He's still not. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he was hurt a little bit in the middle of the season. So, you know, you're just hoping that that he's able to kind of get a variation in his moves, and he's kind of able to do a little bit more. I think the second half of the season we'll be able to kind of see, hey, where is this guy in terms of the, you know, the level of you know, how good he is. I think we're going to find out, especially in the second half. He's playing more and more. So, you know, that's what's good. We got a couple other guys out there, though, that are making a splash a little bit. So he has to, you know, keep playing more, not drinking water, not getting injured, and, you know, doing everything that he needs to do. But he had a hamstring kind of pull, and we all know how hamstrings can be. So if anything, he may need to take another, like, a week off or so. But you know, he's good to go. But, you know, I just think the second half of the season, we're really going to see what kind of player he is. But well, he's getting more touch, or not more touches, more numbers, more snaps. You know, he's getting up there. But nothing special right now, sorry to say.
Nah,
he hasn't really done much.
Yeah, that kind of sucks. But that's kind of what I thought. Steve, I think you got one more question, don't you?
I do. Actually, I have two more questions. I'm going to take one off script just because it popped in my head while we were talking about this. But as a Jaguars fan, have you ever seen the TV show The Good Place?
I've heard of the guy that likes the Jags.
Okay. Jason Mendoza.
Exactly. That was going to be my question.
Is it a good show, though?
It's a great show.
It's a great show. It legitimately is definitely worth your time. On Netflix right now. The whole series is on there.
40 total episodes, right? Than that. It was four seasons. I think about 13 episodes a pop, and it's done.
And they're 30-minute ones, so it's I mean, easy enough to get through. But I mean, it kind of defeats the purpose of the question if you haven't seen the show. But I wanted to see like if that was like a very accurate description of a Jaguars fan. Maybe Sarah can answer this too because she lives in Florida. No,
she would be able to more than me, definitely. But I would say no. We're definitely like more like sad, and then rather than like, oh my god, I'm not gonna watch somebody, you know, somebody that I love. I need to go see the Jags. Like,
you know, you're not throwing like Molotov cocktails at buildings or anything. You're just kind of inside crying, I guess.
Yeah, they're crying about UCF and Gainesville and that. They're definitely crying about college football.
Still not understanding how Blake Bortles hasn't led you to a Super Bowl.
No. We're understanding why they signed him for the fifth-year option. That's what we're
on
the beginning.
Okay, so I will just end this then with, let's say somehow the Jaguars do end up with the number one pick overall 2021, and Trevor Lawrence is available. Is that the slam dunk number one pick? Like, there's no thought process behind it. It's just get him?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. I wanted to double check. I mean, that's what I figured, but
yeah, I mean, people are liking Fields, but only because the Jets are so bad.
Sure.
So I'm seeing more Photoshops of Fields now than Trevor, okay. And people are like, I don't know what to do with this Trevor stuff. And we're just like, hold on to it, please. So, we'll see.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
All right. Well, thank you, Lori. That was our, I guess that was our game preview, more or less. I think we learned a lot about the Jags and just, I don't know, sadness in general, which is always fun, I guess. But yeah, okay, I guess we'll move on from question and answer. Guys, we'll get to over-under. We've got our prop bet over-under here. Sarah pulled ahead a couple weeks ago. We did not have one last week because last week was Sarah and Perry and Maggie and Janelle. So we did not have one last week, but Sarah won 2 weeks ago. And so we are now even. So Sarah, it's your turn for the over-under for our prop bet for this week. Sarah, what do you got?
Okay, so our prop bet for this week is Aaron Rodgers touchdown passes, and we're setting the over-under at 3.5 touchdown passes. So I can go first since I've been going first since I was the loser, but now I'm coming back. So that's great. So I am going to take the under. I think with Aaron Jones back another week and healthy, Aaron Rodgers obviously was hot last week. He had 4 touchdowns. I think maybe there's a couple more rushing touchdowns this week than there was on Thursday night. So I'm going to take the under.
I'm going to take the over. I think Rodgers getting 4. It just seems like what he's kind of doing at this point. You take 4, just calmly take 4 touchdowns and get out. That feels about right to me. So I think over, but just barely. I think he's just hitting 4. Steve, where are you at? You look like you're making a lot of faces, Steve.
I don't know. I'm struggling. Like they both make sense. I mean, I can see both of them happening, and it pisses me off that I can't figure it out. But I'm going to take the over. I'm going to be a happy-go-lucky guy, and I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers with 5 touchdown passes. He's going as Lori has said, the defense for the Jaguars is not very good. And I think Matt LaFleur likes to appease Aaron Rodgers a little bit with the passing game. So we'll go with the big touchdown numbers. So really, oh, my God, because I said 5 touchdown passes. Like, I'm not having him break a record or anything.
I know, but that was like, he's not mean.
He didn't say 8. Lori's still here after all. He didn't want to. We piled on enough, I feel like, right?
I mean, I feel like Lori would throw like 12 touchdown passes on me on Madden, but that's about it.
Actually, I want to see that matchup now. That's what I want to see. All right. So, Steve, I actually didn't know which way you're going to go with that. It was kind of a. Depending on the winner or loss, do you want to be below me or Sarah on that? And right now we've both thrown our hats in the same ring. So this time next week, we're either both making fun of Sarah again, or she's lording this over us and we quit the podcast. We just quit together.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, I'll if she starts winning, we're just done.
Yeah, no, we'll just say,
she can do the whole thing by herself.
Yeah, Steve's
Steve's going to start telling us that he loves us again to try to get any good mojo and karma to come back.
No, he's not doing that again. The pain in his face last time, he's not doing that again. No. All right. Before we get out of here, we got a couple of questions. We didn't have a whole lot. We didn't get a whole lot of Twitter questions. And most of them are just, I feel like, are 1 or 2 word answers. So let's start with an actual football one from Eli Berkovitz, which I almost didn't want to bring up because I don't want Steve to talk about it again. But Eli's question is, with Kirksey on his way back, do the Packers now have an underratedly good inside linebacker group with Kirksey, Barnes, and Martin? Steve, take it away.
No. The group that can't stay healthy, can't stay off COVID, can't stay. No, they don't have an underrated group. Like, I get it. They've all flashed a little bit. Kirksey's been great, you know, for the one game that he played. That was super cool, which was the one worry we all had was, can he stay healthy? No, he hasn't. Barnes has been great, been injured. Kamal Martin has been great for the 1 or 2 games that he's played, been injured, been on COVID. Like, no. No, this is not an underrated group at the minute. Show me over time that you're good, and then you have an underrated group. But no, at this point, you've got nothing.
Yeah, I feel like the time thing for me is a big one. I feel like Kirksey is what we thought he was, which is pretty good when healthy, just not healthy. Barnes, I feel like, is just – it's Barnes is just better than what we've had. I feel like the only like real impact guy out of there, I feel like, is Kamal Martin. Like, potentially, I feel like Chris Barnes is AJ Hawk 2.0, like, ceiling, basically.
And if that, like, I love, like, it's great. And it's so sad that I'm so excited at mediocre inside linebacker.
He's fine. He's perfectly fine. And that's very thrilling.
Like, oh my God, we have somebody that can actually do the job.
Well, he made a tackle. That was great. Did you see him?
I watched the Tampa Bay game and I'm like, holy crap, that's what's supposed to happen? That's what it is?
Steve turned into a Bucks fan at a certain point. Yeah. Same page. All right. Snack. We'll do a snack one. Smod asks, what's the best snack to eat while working? I'm going to lead off that one and just say right now it's all of them. Smod, it's all of the snacks.
Fair?
Yeah, I mean, that's the best answer. Right now it truly is. It's usually, you know, I would pack like pretzels and Goldfish. I usually like mix that. I mean, I love pretzels. And so that's what I would like put in my work bag. But now, like, I work 2 feet from my pantry. Mm-hmm. So nothing is off limits. I could have Oreos. I could have pretzels. I could have chips. The options are endless. So, Dusty, that was a great answer. Kind of summed up everything for me.
The juice box goes really well with the Goldfish crackers and pretzels, too. So just apple
I
slices.
Care. I will
That felt a little forced today, Dusty. I'm not going to lie.
Listen, I'm not feeling great.
I'm not allowed to answer? Is that?
No, go ahead. No, please, Steve. Oh, please.
This is Dusty is hosting, and I'm not allowed to answer questions now. Okay.
Oh, you finally picked up on that.
Yeah, pretty much. No, my go-to when I'm working is always almonds. It's just I've always got like a sealed up bag or whatever, you know, that's just my go-to. That, and then drink of choice is always the Lipton's green tea citrus. Since I can't have anything carbonated, that's like my go-to jam of a drink. So that and coffee.
That's not bad. All right, last question. It's another food one. Again, we didn't get a whole lot from Jacob Wessendorf. Now we're going to take this and change this a little. So his, and it's a takeoff of Aaron Alice, always asks the bananas and pajamas questions. Jacob has one. What Thanksgiving side is the bananas and pajamas favorite? We'll nix that and we'll just say, guys, Thanksgiving's coming up. Best Thanksgiving side. Steve, what do you got?
See, and I wanted to answer the banana question because...
Oh, do that then. Yeah, I wasn't going to do that, but you go ahead, please.
No, I want to because we get this question like not this exact question, but we get the bananas in pajamas every single damn week. Like Aaron, like we love Aaron. She's awesome. But again, every week we get the question, and Dusty gets a question about bananas in pajamas. So those dudes look like some cannibal looking MFers. So I'm going to say they eat banana bread because they can just devour that up and they're like, ooh, I'm eating myself. And it's some creepy little, like, turns into some horror movie, which is also like right down Dusty's alley.
Yeah, mine was going to be bananas flambe. So, yeah, we're right on the same page there, Steve.
I see you, buddy. I see you.
So, Sarah, bananas in pajamas or just regular Thanksgiving side?
I'll just go with regular Thanksgiving side since you guys took all the fun, exciting answers. So my favorite is macaroni and cheese, but I like when it's like baked. So it's like the top has like crumbles. There's a little bit of bacon bits. So the middle is like cheesy and gooey, but then the top kind of has that crunchy crust on it. So that's my favorite side. Although I'm a fan, sorry, Andy, of like all of the sides. That has to be my favorite.
You don't have
to.
Do not apologize. You don't have to apologize. Andy's a moron.
You don't have to apologize to him.
Doesn't like Thanksgiving food. Yeah. What kind of? Oh my God.
Yeah, he'd have like freaking just a bowl of Cheerios for Thanksgiving if he could. Don't apologize to that man.
He had like tacos and frosted Rice Krispies the last time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, don't apologize.
It was disgusting. Fun fact: I did make my own baked macaroni and cheese this weekend.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it
send,
was really
send
good.
Along the recipe, Steve. I'm always down for a good mac and cheese recipe.
My kids hated it, but my wife liked it, so that was always a good thing.
That's good. That's awesome. Lori, what do you got for Thanksgiving side? You do Thanksgiving food. What if you've got a go-to Thanksgiving side, go-to Thanksgiving food, what do you got?
Stuffing, I guess. Like, I'm so – that's so corny, I know. I didn't grow up with a family that cooks. Everything's microwave. The only thing good that we have are potatoes. We're Irish, you know? We're not, like, it's not an Italian family. You don't got the nine fish or anything. So pumpkin pie and stuffing, and then I'm good.
What the hell's nine fish?
Or the seven fish? I don't know what that is
at all.
Well, that's Christmas. That's the Italian Christmas thing.
True. You could have sold me on Thanksgiving. I would have had no clue.
Steve has a lot of interest in fish, apparently. That is what I learned today. Steve has a lot of interest in seven fish, nine
fish.
Not
allowed to ask questions? Okay. That's
cool. No, that's fine. No, I was curious as well. I was just gonna let it float right on by.
Yeah. You're like, hey, whatever fish. Yeah.
Yeah, but listen,
where
man.
She's from, but...
Listen, man, I don't know what
it's
like.
I don't know why you guys been in Philly.
Yeah, I've been up to Philly before, and I don't ask questions about how they live their life up there, Steve. So I just, whatever, someone from Philly tells me they do something, I just nod my head and go, yes, that sounds correct.
I am a safe distance away. It's okay, Dusty. You can ask a question.
I prefer not to. All right. Well, that wraps us up. So we're going to get into final thoughts here. So we're just kind of, I don't know, Laura, if you want to lead off with anything you've got kind of going on. I know you've got your podcast and writing. Anything you've got this week you want to kind of, you want to push at all that you've got going?
Well, we do have a podcast over at Jaguars Brawl. So we're definitely going to be recording that. I have something coming out on James Robinson at SI.com nice. With Jags. So got that coming soon. You know, I'm trying to just do more stuff. Just follow me on Twitter, you know, it's all have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Seconded. Yeah. If you're not already, again, Lori Fitzpatrick on Twitter, she posts a lot of clips up there. And it's all tremendous. I know you've been doing game highlights and stuff as well, but you also do really good breakdowns after the fact with the coach's film. So always learn a lot. So if you're not following Lori, please follow Lori. Sarah, final thoughts?
Yeah, well, first, Lori, thanks for joining us. This was great, and it was nice. I know you and Dusty have virtually been close, so it was nice to chat with you and, you know, hear your perspective. As far as what's happening with me, I'll have a recap up on Sunday, per usual. You guys have been absolutely hilarious and sending me some really funny halftime takeaways and final takeaways, so be on the lookout again for that, and then I'll include some of my stories, so... thanks for following along. And then also, you know, thanks for listening in last week to the All Ladies episode. A lot of you reached out and had some really nice comments about that. So really appreciate it. It was fun.
Yeah. Really great episode last week. It was, you know, it was weird seeing a Wednesday podcast that was under half an hour. I particularly did not care for that, but you guys did a really good job.
It was funny because I was actually at my parents' house because it was my dad's birthday. So I went to see them for a few days. And I was like, oh, we're recording a little different of a podcast. And I, like, recorded it and then walked out. And my mom's like, you're done already? Because she knows from, like, the past that we've just gone on and on and on. So it was funny.
I'll go. I'll let Steve close it out. We'll try to keep the status quo on that aspect here. So I've got camera normal stuff. Since it's been a long week, I've done a little extra. So I had a video that I did kind of showing the cheese wheel concept that the Packers were running since last year under LaFleur and kind of a variation to that led to Devontae's touchdown this past week. That was a lot of fun. I also got my normal writing stuff. So yesterday at Packer Report, I've got a couple instances of throwing to Tyler Irvin in the flat after jet motion and kind of talk about what that could open up. Today over at Cheesehead, I've got just passing concept breakdown stuff, including there's a really cool sequence of Adams running a double move off a mesh concept where he's against kind of the same coverage. They ran it early second quarter and did not go to him, and then they saw that and ran it early in the third for a 49-yard gain. So that, along with some other kind of just how the Packers were able to get some coverage matchups with Adams matching up on linebackers, which you should not do, should not match up Devonte Adams on linebackers. But I kind of got that going on. And then also
don't
today.
Tell other defenses what to do.
Steve, can you not interrupt? Thank you.
No. That's this is not how we do things here.
I'm writing this down. Okay, Jaguars need all the information they can.
Just sending this to Coach. Send this to Coach right now. Also today, I've got look at the pressure, the Preston Smith pressure that caused the Nick Mullins interception to Raven Green, and just kind of the coverage behind that. Just kind of looked at how all that happened. The pressure itself is not overly interesting. It's just Preston Smith beating a backup left tackle that probably should not have been in the game. But the coverage behind it's kind of an interesting look. So I got all that stuff coming out, and then we'll start this whole thing over again after the Packers win by 50 this weekend. Steve? Steve, what do you got?
With Aaron Rodgers throwing five touchdowns.
I had to get a last dig in, Larry. We're almost done.
Not too much here. Just a big thank you to Lori. It was outstanding, and to be able to pick your brain on the Jags is a lot of fun. And I also look forward to you kicking my ass in Madden, because obviously Dusty is not a worthy opponent. So
correct.
I'm very, very intrigued for you to kick my ass. So that'll
only
be a lot
if we
of fun.
Stream it.
Oh, for sure.
Steve's got a Twitch.
I've got a Twitch. I don't really know much about it, but I've got one. It posted with no audio because Dusty couldn't. We couldn't hook it up, but. So yeah, a lot of fun.
Sounds legit.
Yeah, it'll be outstanding. Sarah and all the girls from Pack-A-Day, it was a great episode when you guys had our spot last week. So thank you guys for doing that and holding down the fort on the Wednesday edition. And as far as final notes go, I've just got one for everybody that's living in Wisconsin. Please wear a damn mask whenever you go outside. I mean, it's getting worse. It's not getting better. And anything you can do to help protect and keep your friends, relatives, random people safe, that's something you should do. So please wear a mask. Stay at home whenever humanly possible, and be a good human being. So thank you, guys. Dusty, take it away.
As always, go Pack, go.